podcast is just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. And to the other side of the ether is the hella to my Captain Carter. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, animated heroes for hire.
Yeah, I'm, it's been a while since we got What If, and it took you and I a second to get on this train, but
I got around to it.
Looking forward to chatting about this with you today.
Yeah, this should be a good one. And of course, Nick already mentioned it, but we'll be discussing the 11th season of MCU Disney Plus Television. It's season 2 of What If, I guess starring Jeffrey Wright. There's a bunch of other people. I'm not going to go through it all because there's so many bit players and people who do multiple voices. So when we get to the cast and crew of that, that's going to be a little bit light there. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But a little bit of an intro question, Nick. We followed any of this Miami alien story that happened? I think it kind of broke last week, but it might have happened over New Year's.
Not beyond what you've shared with me, but it does seem like an odd one for sure.
Yeah, you're deep into the numbers, you know, crunching numbers, putting together the daily grinds there, the daily bets of for DK there. So your head's in the right place because this is just like a crazy story. You know, there's no need to be bogged down by this. But this enamored me as someone who loves the paranormal here. So, again, I think this happened at a Miami mall. I think it happened New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. But again, everything kind of broke last week. But there was like hundreds of cop cars, like huge, like multiple. Could seemingly felt like thousands from these videos, these aerial shots of cop cars in response to this Miami mall there, where there was apparently the official story is that there was this huge kid riot, kids with sticks and weapons kind of going against each other in like a big brawl type scenario. But firsthand accounts of people who were there have gone onto social media, TikTok, Twitter, whatever, and saying that there was like anywhere between a 6 and 10 foot alien sighting. Where this thing didn't move, but it kind of like phased to different places, if that makes sense. So think of like almost how like Ghost moves from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Kind of like that when I say phased, you know?
Yeah.
And they're also saying that like it was something to do with phones. Like they're reacting to like electrical noises. The internet was down in the area for like a long period of time. It's a crazy story. And I wouldn't even, you know, be so inclined to believe it, but there's, you would think we would see video of the fight. If there was fights or anything, that's like what kids do. They all videotape everything they do, you know?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point.
That's where I create the shadow of doubt.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty reasonable reason to doubt that this was actually like a kid fight or whatever.
At least we're not being told the real story. Maybe it's not aliens, but there was something else going on there, which was weird too, because again, the internet being out is a whole different, you know, brings into a whole different line of questioning there. But, and as with any paranormal sighting, whether it's Bigfoot or aliens or the Loch Ness Monster, you get some blurry footage of what people are saying was this like big creature walking outside. I don't know if it's like the promenade, like the front entrance of the mall. And it's hazy aerial footage and it's all highlighted and kind of enhanced. So you can kind of see it better, but you know, it's all pixelated at the same time. It's nothing definitive, but it's a very weird story nonetheless.
Yeah. My only pushback on the alien angle of it is it just feels like too convenient that like now we're starting to get all this stuff out there. Like now they want themselves to be seen, but but maybe that's just because the government's kind of blown the lid off of that. I don't know. But either way, I am on the same side of you in the sense that this doesn't smell right. What we've been,
something doesn't add up there, and give it a good search on Twitter or X or whatever it is, you know, it was trending for a while there. So you'll pull up a whole bunch of videos and stuff like that. So definitely check that out. No, that's about the only trending news that we have, though. So that'll be the intro question. Yeah, I'm kind of toying with this idea of like only doing trending now when we have like news to talk about. Like,
I was catching that drift. Yeah. So it's work. I like it.
Then maybe we'll be a little bit more succinct. Maybe we'll move on. Yeah. When we have stuff to talk about, although, you know, we talked about Jonathan Majors last week. I thought it was pretty funny that he's now doing like the tell all interview on Good Morning America. You know, that's like the meme on X and everything was that it's like straight out of a Boys episode.
That's actually very interesting.
I thought that was pretty appropriate. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. Like, he's doing this with a Disney owned.
Like, yeah. That's the kicker, right? It's like Good Morning America is ABC, which is Disney owned. And it's like, yeah. They're like market testing him. They're throwing some testers out into the water. Like, how do people react to him?
Oh, that's a good call. That's probably what it was. Wow. I didn't think of that. It's just very, very strange.
Oh, yeah. Again, it's like a perfect Boys episode. They're like, listen, your social media numbers are down. We need you to get you on here. Right. I can just picture the redhead right now with like a team of board members with a bunch of tablets looking over, you know, focus groups and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a great call.
You need to win the 18 to 40 demo.
I'm like mystified right now by that. Like, that, I don't know how that didn't cross my mind at all. Like, the internet did a good job on this one.
Internet is always comes out on top there, but much like the internet, Nick's comic book minute is coming out on top right now.
Ah, a superb choice.
So we got some big stuff this week in Marvel, but before I get to that, from Dark Horse, we got the second issue of Masterpieces. This is Brian Michael Bendis, and I really enjoyed the first issue of this. Already got to check out the second one, and it continues to be an interesting story. And basically, it's where we have these two like master spies, are like husband and wife. We haven't seen them yet really in this story, but they had a kid together. But they didn't raise the child. The child's been raised by somebody else. And now this basically like, who is Andy Garcia in, the Oceans movies. Is that right?
Yeah. He's in the first. Yeah. The first one. Yeah.
So it's basically as if Andy Garcia is now going after, trying to recruit the heist maker's kid and have him work for them. Cause she's also a genius. So it's been, and then we're seeing other people kind of thrown in the mix. So it's been interesting, from Whatnot / Massive Publishing. It's a company I don't really mention in the comic book minute a lot, but Sean Murphy's done a lot of work for them. He's done, he's most notably done Batman, White Knight over at DC, among a ton of other stuff, but that's just most notable recently. He's gotten his hands on the Zorro IP, and he's doing Zorro Man of the Dead issue one. I didn't get in on the Indiegogo campaign when they did this, but I know it was like funded, like if not in the first day, like very quickly soon after. This is something I'll probably be checking out. But for Marvel, the biggest stuff right now we got going is Rise of the Powers of X, issue one for that. The Fall of Krakoa is happening now, which is obviously very exciting. And I've been really enjoying everything we're getting out of that. And then from Wolverine, friend of TLDR, Benjamin Percy, the writer of Wolverine, we've got the Sabretooth War coming. So I have not got a chance to look at this, but he already did a Ghost Rider crossover and absolutely crushed it with him and Wolverine. And now he's got his hands on Sabretooth with Wolverine. I can't imagine he's not going to kill it here as well. And then for TLDR this week, we'll probably talk about Sabretooth War, maybe some of these other titles. We're just doing What's No, which usually means there's something else coming on either later on the week or early next week, but can't get into that right now. But that is it for the extended comic book minute this week.
Wes. I love it. Yeah, use the extra time for the comic book minute. That's what it should be for. That's a good use of time there. I love it.
I appreciate it.
All right, so yeah, let's shift over. Are you ready to get into our main topic here?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, let's ask. Jesus, where is it? Oh, this is so bad.
I knew you were gonna. Who you're going for?
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, are you ready for the main topic?
All right, now let's go get him.
Okay, just one more time. I couldn't hear that. Son of a bitch. Now it's not even playing.
All right. Now let's go
there
get
it. Ah, damn it. Okay. There we go. Okay. Well, that's flawless producer work there on the back end. Main topic here. What if season two and exit survey? Nick, what is the synopsis of What If here? That's a big question.
Exploring pivotal moments from the Marvel Cinematic Universe and turning them on their head, leading the audience into uncharted territory.
Uncharted territory.
Okay, yeah. I was just that mixed up. Anyways, what do you got for the cast and crew?
Well, this is directed by Brian Andrews and Stephen Frank, written by A.C. Bradley and Matthew Chauncey, starring Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher. And that's about a bunch of other voices that come in there, too. Some of the real actors, too. But that doesn't really matter. This is a lazy episode. Mm. But we do have the episode rundown, though. So what 9 episodes. What were the names of all these? And so the IMDb scores.
We got What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps. That got a 7.1 out of 10. Mm. Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes, 7.4. Happy Hogan Saved Christmas, 6.9, which is the lowest episode on IMDb. And I would say that's
poor Happy.
We'll get to that later. Iron Man Crashed Into the Grandmaster, 7.4. We also got a 7.4 for Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper. Mm. Then we got Corey Reshaped the World, 7.8 out of 10. Hela Found the Ten Rings, 8.1 out of 10. The Avengers Assembled in 1602, 8.1 out of 10. And then the finale, Strange Supreme Intervened, 7.7.
All right. So now as for our scores, score and tweet length review, X length review is probably what it should be updated to. I give this an 82 out of 100. This is improved animation that's noticeably right off the bat. And storytelling. I think there's some really interesting storylines here. But it just doesn't hold my attention, even if it, in its mostly one-off format. They toy with some really good ideas. But again, just I'm not sure if it lands everything for me.
So we are in the same neighborhood. Our usual separation in scoring, points apart. I gave this an 87 out of 100. Produced some much better stories, and the animation took a surprising leap. Some of the what-if questions, though, still make me scratch my head.
Mm, that's fair, too. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But let's dive right in, shall we? Did you watch any of the episodes during the daily release dates? I believe that was over the Christmas break there.
No,
and if so, what did you think about that release format?
I apologize. No, I did not. But I did. Okay. I do appreciate I think it was a good move. As much as I didn't take advantage of it, holiday season's obviously tough for everybody. Mm-hmm. It had a little extra stuff going on personally this year, but I think it's a smart move. This is not something like, as much as it was good, I don't think after the first season and how it was kind of polarizing, you couldn't go and make this like a weekly thing by any stretch.
No, and I love this. I love the idea of having this released one day at a time. Although I like you, I didn't take advantage of it. I watched it after the fact. But I think, you know, for someone who is off on that Christmas break, a high school kid, maybe a college kid, younger than that, having something that you know you can kind of look forward to every day, I think that's kind of cool. It's a little bit like a Christmas gift in its own right.
Yes, it is. And you're absolutely right. Like, that has to be who they're doing it for. Not only do you not want to have it be weekly releases like it was before, where things kind of struggled. Now you have the kids who are more likely going to be make up the majority of your audience for this specifically because it's animated. Now it's giving it to them nice and easily in a faster manner than weekly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about a favorite episode? Favorite episode here. Maybe we can just go full rankings if you got them.
Yeah, I got full rankings, but I will kick things off with just my top one, and that is the Hela episode. Far and away, like, there was no doubt in my mind when I was going through this, that was my number one, as much as I do think the question was a little odd.
So, yeah, did not make sense. She didn't find the 10 rings, almost at 7 rings. Ooh, excuse me. That's an Ariana Grande song, 7 Rings. You know, I would like to okay. find her. How about that? Ayo. but no. She just found Wenwu.
Yeah, I was. I when I saw that, I was like, okay, so she's gonna take them from him. Like, is that what's gonna happen?
And I was expecting that the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that was like the only knock is like it was a misleading title. Mm-hmm. You know, that's generally not great, but at the same time, like for what the episode was, what they wrote. It was outstanding. I like, you could have easily just made this into, this is not a better title, but like, what if, you know, Odin did to Hela what he did to Thor? Like, that's obviously a terrible episode name, but that's what happened. And
yep. It's
a different time frame, and that would have been easy. So
it's like Thor blended with Shang-Chi.
Yeah, it was, and it was awesome. Like, I really enjoyed what they did with Hela there. I loved what they did with, I forget the other world that Shang-Chi's mother is from.
Oh, yeah.
that was awesome there as well. And just her going up against Odin and everything. It was, I had the only criticism I had for that episode was the title.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I thought that one was a little slow. I watched that this afternoon. So I saw that you would put that down as your favorite episode. And I only had, you know, a couple more, those last three episodes left to go through. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll give that. And I thought it dragged a little bit, but I thought the fight between Odin, Hela, and Wenwu, again, awesome. They, you know, Marvel does a great three-way battle. They know how to finish off a menage a trois. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. And there, it was definitely not like the fastest moving episode that we got, but it for me, like it felt appropriate. And also Hela's personality carried those. Mm-hmm. I thought those slower moments. But what was your number one?
So speaking of personality carrying, a lot of the episodes, Tony crashing into Sakaar. It's great. You get the Tony, snarkiness mixed with what I believe is, I'm going to blank on his name there, but
Grandmaster?
The Grandmaster. Yeah. Jeff. Thank you. Jeff Goldblum's quirkiness and everything that carries right over through it. I loved all that. You get a good battle race, death race there. So I thought that carried a lot of cool things to it. And you also get Korg. There's a lot of comedic relief in there between the three of them. So I like that one the best. I also like Peter Quill versus the 90s Avengers, you know, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. But it's essentially Howard Stark. It's Captain Carter. It's Ant-Man, but the father there, Hank Pym. And then Bill Lawrence. Is that his name?
Bill Foster.
Bill Foster. Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's where I'm going there. But yeah, they have all that, you know, it's very cool to see all of that happening. All right. With, you know, seeing that old group kind of get together. And of course the story with Peter Quill and Ego is really interesting too. So I liked that a lot. Those are probably my top two episodes, but
that's fair.
A least favorite episode.
Oh yeah. It's not even fucking close.
Oh, okay. After Happy Hogan Saves Christmas.
Happy Hogan Saves Christmas. I don't like, I get like Christmas episodes is going to be like kitschy and whatever. I'm totally fine with that. But I didn't get it. Like, why are we trying to make Happy a thing? And then I was getting more annoyed as we went along with it. Like they kept trying to make Happy a thing in the Captain Carter stories and whatnot.
Yeah.
For me, so I have like, I definitely have tiers within this too. Happy stuff is like in its own tier at the bottom. Like it's not even close. Then in the next tier, at number eight is Captain Carter Part One, but it was like, it was good. It was solid. I had no issue with it. Like the biggest knock I really had with it is like, you have to have watched the previous season to watch this. And I always thought kind of the point of What If, including the comics, is it's not that. So
yeah, still, that was a big knock on it for me as well.
Right. But I did like Black Widow a lot in this. I thought Lake Bell did a really job with that character. We'll talk about that more later. And then number seven, again, in that same tier is Captain Carter Part Two. The problem, and I love the idea of going throwback and everything, and that's fun. But like, this isn't necessarily fair, but I've seen where DC has gone back and turned back the clock, and now they're going to do Elseworlds again. And Tom Taylor wrote that in the comics, and I'm blanking on the artist's name, and she kicks ass. But anyways, like they did that right to a T. Was this an alternate reality? Was this back in time? And if it's back in time, how are these characters there? And then when we get Stephen Strange in the finale where he talks to her about it, he said 1602, and the way he said it, I didn't rewatch it. I just watched it the one time, but the way he said it, I was like, was he saying that as if it was another multiverse, or is it back in time?
Like 838 or
exactly. Okay, so there was a lot, I had a lot of confusion like with that. I felt if that gets cleared up, then this probably moves up my rankings. But again, you have Happy Hogan in there with the Hulk, the Purple Hulk powers, which I did not care for at all.
I think aside from the Happy Hogan episode, which I skipped, ironically, I think my least favorite episode is probably Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper. I liked the Avengers Assembled in 1602. I like the gimmick of it. I'm not familiar with the DC stuff there, so this was all brand new to me. So I thought that was a really cool thing, and to be like, oh shit, they got, you know, Steve Rogers doing a Robin Hood type thing with his merry men. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that. So I like kind of seeing all the Musketeers. You got Ant-Man kind of swashbuckling around there and everything, but you're right. I did have questions about, like, wait, How do they have powers here? I thought none of them were going to have powers, and then I don't know. So I was a little confused about that as well. But so the execution wasn't really there, but the idea it was like a 10 out of 10 for
100%. I absolutely love the idea. So again, those are in a tier together. Then at 6, I have the finale, and at 5, I have the Iron Man story, which I absolutely loved the race. It was awesome. This is where I'm like, I have these at 5 and 6 in my rankings, but again, this was a good season. Like the biggest problem it had was there was a wasted episode with the Christmas episode, and then there were like odd questions along the way that led to these stories. But there were they're odd questions. But let's take the story and what we're given, and it was like that was a lot of fun. And then from 1 to 4, they're in a grouping together. At 4, I have the Kahori story. Then I have Nebula. Then I have Star-Lord. Again, Star-Lord is a weird question, the way they put it.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be like it's the past Avengers, not the current Avengers. It's a little misleading. Nebula, I thought by and large kicked ass. I just felt like the other two had like a higher ceiling to it. And then Kahori, like the knock on that again is, well, this isn't it kind of falls under the question category of being odd, but it also, like, these questions that they're asking seem like odd ones to be asking. That's where
they could have had an editor go over these a time or two and just be like, is this the headline that we want to go with here?
Right. And that's the biggest thing. But for that story, that one kicked ass. So the top four, and also, like, if you look at my rankings, 1 through 5, not counting the Happy Hogan one, 1 through 5, those are all one-offs. Like, they're not tied to a larger story at all.
And that's going to be what age is the worst for me. We'll get to that a little bit later there, but just, it feels like misleading the audience a little bit when we're told that this is one-offs, but then it all kind of carries over. Even like the Peter Quill from the world, like didn't they have an episode in the first season around a young Peter Quill?
In the first season?
I could have sworn that, but maybe my memory betrays me here, but
they had when Chadwick Boseman was the one that got picked up and became Star-Lord. Is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe that's what it was there. Maybe. Yeah. Nevertheless, are there any storylines you think the MCU will pick up in the live action storylines? Kind of like what they did with Strange Supreme and Multiverse of Madness.
I really think there's only two that they would do it with, and it's Captain Carter or Corey. Mm-hmm. So with Carter, they did set it up where they could leave her alone, but they've also invested so much time in her. We've already seen her in some capacity, and I got no problem with seeing her thrown in the mix. And I think with Corey, again, that was the oddest question, just because of they're creating a new superhero in this, which again,
she was brand new, right? That was going to be my question.
Brand new. And I love the addition. I thought she was a very welcome addition. All my issues with it are like surely on principle, but execution with her was awesome. I don't know why you don't bring her in the mix more. After like the success that seemed, at least from that I felt from watching.
Yeah, I liked it too. I wasn't really sure what I was going to think going into it, because I know like she was kind of like heavy on the marketing for the season there. I know they were kind of pushing her a lot on like not posters and stuff, but like title cards and things like that for the season. But I really enjoyed the story. I thought it was good, even if I did have to read subtitles for it. That didn't really bother me all that much. But I thought it was a really cool story of going to like the sacred world within the Tesseract and the Fountain of Youth with the Spaniards, conquistadors and stuff. I thought that was pretty interesting. I think her power set is like not really anything, like you don't really know what it is. It's kind of like nebulous, right?
Yep,
so it's like 100%. that's a little like, all right, you need some shaping of that there, which if they're going to be fleshing her out in live action, then that's plenty of time for. The Captain, those two feel like the obvious options, because again, that was the connected story. They've already churned out Strange Supreme and Multiverse of Madness, and maybe a little bit of disappointment is the timing of this as well, because when we got season one, there were characters who we knew were in the middle of phase four with, where this is like going back in time with older heroes, whether from, you know, the Infinity Saga or prior to that, and not a whole, you know, you're not seeing, you know, Falcon or anything like that, or you know, who any Moon Knight, any of the ones that who are going to be kind of pushing She-Hulk or whatever, that you would see that they could kind of adopt. So maybe that was a little bit of a missed opportunity for them. Mm. Timing wise, that didn't work out best. But so this, that feels like the right answer.
That's a good call though. Like sure, we get Howard the Duck thrown in the mix. I know we'll bring him up later and that's great, but there's just, you're not bringing up a whole lot of these other individuals that
from the current roster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good call.
What do you think is going to age the best from this season?
I'll tell you what, the animation, we already touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But noticeable improvement across the board. But the stuff that stood out the most was the action. And I really like, I'm like, we have been spoiled by, or not spoiled, like the bar has been set for animation now in this new era with Into the Spider-Verse. And it is next level stuff. And that is a very high bar for sure. From when it comes to like cinematic type stuff and anything MCU does feel cinematic, because obviously Invincible a little different, but then obviously you have TMNT that also kicked ass with Mutant Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
With the action here specifically, I very much thought this feels like we're getting a little bit of that Spider-Verse quality brought in here.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that influence kind of bleed over into other animated works there. So I'm with you on that for sure. I love Nebula having this noir detective vibe throughout.
Yeah.
Almost like Sin City or Watchmen with Rorschach, with kind of like the voiceover as if it was like her personal diary almost. So I thought that was a really cool way to tell that story. Pretty cool story too. I thought that was a cool opening to the season. Again, some of the other gimmicks, I love the 90s Avengers. I thought that was pretty cool to see them all in action together. Same with the 1602 Avengers, specifically Rogers, Treehouse, and Rogers being, that Robin Hood type character. Again, I love that as well. And then we mentioned this already, but the Hela Wenu versus Odin fight and the MCU again. Does a great menage a trois.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff here. The highs here were pretty damn high. Even as you're talking about the 1602 episode, like I have a note here that the four episodes that aren't related to the larger Captain Carter story or the Christmas story, like those are going to age very well. But I do think the 1602, like I'm definitely being picking some nits on that, because I also have thought about that idea before of like, wouldn't it be so cool to see different stories? Like we've seen some shit like that in comics before. So I'm definitely picking some more nits than the average person there. But like those, a lot of these episodes I think are going to age well and are far more rewatchable than what we got in the first season.
Yeah, no, I agree here. I got something for what age the worst. Do you want to? Are you ready for that? Anything else you want to?
I got nothing else to add there.
Okay, so for what age the worst? You know, at kind of building off that conversation about the timing that we were having. You know, there's nothing. They're not really using anyone from the current roster in this to kind of give you hope as a springboard for like a crazy idea or something. Why didn't they use, like, haven't they introduced anyone from the Fantastic Four or the X-Men? They have the rights to those.
I don't understand any of
this. Why not use them to your maximum capacity?
It's got to be because of Deadpool. It's like, they must be waiting to do it with that, like, max out with Deadpool. It's the only logical explanation.
I guess so. Yeah. I just think that, like, that would be cool to see if they got, you know, and maybe that's lame. Maybe that's a lame introduction to them in, like, the Disney Marvel scheme of things to kind of have them introduced in What If. But, you know, seemingly we're getting that with X-Men 97 at some point.
We don't have a date for X-Men 97, right?
I feel like it's this year. I don't know.
That's all I've heard is this year. I think, Wes, I mean, we've been on it so much lately, and I know we're not alone in this. Like, why aren't we getting the X-Men? What's going on with Fantastic Four, all this stuff? It's got to be Deadpool related.
You're probably right.
Because it just seems so ridiculous. Like, again, this is a great opportunity, because I was, when we saw in the last episode with Strange Supreme, he had all these different orbs and like you can make out some of the individuals. I tried to pause, you know, Disney's interface doesn't necessarily play well into that, but I'm trying to pause to see, is there anybody that we can see there? And like, there was young Peter Quill and some other, like there was Thanos and some other stuff that we've seen throughout this series and some other familiar figures, but nothing like X-Men related that I could make out. So I'm just, maybe I missed it, but I couldn't make it out. So it's like, they gotta be just waiting to for Deadpool.
Yeah. It's just disappointing. Let's go. Already.
I'm ready for it. Yeah. Let's do it.
And I just didn't watch the Happy Hogan episode. So that was about it for me. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, you know what? Not only is it that episode is going to be the thing that ages the worst from this season, but also like him getting more run with his powers. it bleeds into the 1602 episode. It's in the finale. And I'm just like, why? Like, who thought of this idea? I just was not a fan of it at all.
Maybe it was just Jon Favreau. He's like forcing himself in there.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess he's due for a bad decision because he's done a lot of good
middle. Yeah, he has. The only other thing, I mentioned this a little bit earlier as well, just the it being billed as a one-off episode, like each one kind of being a its own bottle episode, but yet it builds into some sort of a greater story. You know, it kind of goes back to season one when we were told that this was going to be its own thing and not a part of the MCU, but then leading up in the marketing and the promotion of it, they said, oh no, this is going to be a part and affect the greater MCU storyline. So you have to watch it. So it's like, I feel like we just keep getting like a rug pull from us at some point in time. I'm a little bit more partial to the one-offs.
Yeah.
So as it bears out, you know, by what we discussed earlier, our favorite episodes.
I think that there's a formula that could really work well for them here in have what we're asking for, but also then also if you want to feed into the MCU more, go that route. Just have this be, you know, what if, and then it's all a series of one-offs. And then if you have anything in particular that hits with people, I don't know how Disney would figure that out, but if you find something that hits with people, then go and give it its own series, or then you find a way to maybe work it in throughout all this multiverse stuff, and then bring that into live action. But don't do it here where it's supposed to be a series of one-offs, because it just feels like an odd fit.
Yeah. Again, we're getting sold a different bill of goods here, so I don't know. That's just it. Minor a nuisance there. Who had the best performance by a side character this series?
I think you have you hit the nail on the head with one of them, but I'm gonna throw Black Widow out there. Lake Bell is the voice. She's also the voice of Poison Ivy, and just brought a little extra humor to her. And you know, it makes sense. We're working alongside Captain Carter. We saw her bringing that in a little bit with Steve Rogers, but couple of girls kicking ass together. Like, it makes sense that we'll see a little more humor. And Lake Bell brings it with Poison Ivy too in the Harley Quinn series. So
I'm trying to picture Lake Bell. She, you know, she is, was she like the girlfriend in Get Out?
No, that's Allison Williams, but I could see how you get those two.
I'm kind of picturing up like an Amanda Peet type face.
Yeah, you know, honestly, yeah, that there's so, yeah,
am I on there, right?
You're not
Saving Silverman reboot.
No, I'm just like starting
good casting.
You're just starting to make me realize things about myself. But yeah, that's
Who your celebrity crushes are.
Yeah, but like it's starting to see some level of consistency.
You got a type there, huh?
Apparently. Yeah, okay. But yeah, but Lake Bell's like kind of in that ballpark. But I can't remember what else what she's been in like live action off the top of my head. But you like,
yeah, I'll give her, you know, maybe we'll just do some pre-show, post-show research.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But who do you have as candidates? I know one of them was a home run.
Well, I love the Grandmaster. I think every time we get Jeff Goldblum on there, being Jeff Goldblum, that's a home run. And I'm assuming it's the same voice. You know, it's his voice in there doing the character work there, the voice work, because it's spot on. So if it's someone doing an impression, kudos to that person as well, because it's really good. But the back and forth between him and Tony, and then you get Korg's one-liners in there. I thought that worked really well. But Howard the Duck in the first episode with Nebula and the Nova Corps was a really nice surprise. Again, that works with that kind of like seedy underbelly of what city were they in?
Oh my God, they're on the planet from
Nowhere?
The Guardians movie. No, not Nowhere.
Xandar. There we go. The seedy underbelly of Xandar and everything. So I thought that was really cool. And then also, this is honorable mention, but Rogers Wood, 1602 Avengers, Steve Rogers, Robin Hood. Awesome.
Yeah, if Black Widow's not the winner, then for me, then it's Howard the Duck. I think that's a great call. He was, and that's one too where it's like he loses out in the back of my mind because he's just in the first episode of the series, but he was an outstanding addition.
Yeah, okay, I can live with that. I can live with that there. Who lost the series, Nick?
You know who I think lost the series. Everybody knows that I think it's Happy Hogan, but who is it for you? I'm very curious.
So I wrote down Thanos again because I feel like this started with maybe What If season one, maybe with the Thor 4, kind of with their theme park there and New Asgard. But there's a diminishing of Thanos's impact and work in the Infinity Saga that goes on here. And it happens either in the first or second episode of season two here, like pretty quickly. They just diminish him. Like they get rid of him pretty quickly. Yeah. It's Ronan. Ronan defeats Thanos, like double crosses him and just defeats him. It's like, no, Ronan's a bitch. This would never happen.
Do you think there's a world where we see them try and bring Thanos back?
No, I don't know. They're like, I feel like Marvel is telling us that Thanos isn't that big of a deal, but the fans still love him.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unprecedented for them to bring him back in the comic, you know, just in comics alone, but also like you're right. It seems like they're trying to downplay him a little bit, which is an interesting move. I mean, there are people that are, there's certainly characters in Marvel that are stronger than him, but you know, I don't know.
But you know, at least for the MCU lore, I will grant you that there's like better villains, stronger villains in the comic book lore, but that's what everything built up to. That's where they've had the most success. Like you should kind of have him on like a Mount Rushmore kind of pedestal, right?
There should be like, why would you go and disrespect the thing that worked for you so well before? I don't
understand. Yeah. You know? So I don't know. That just felt weird to me, but you know, I can't be upset with Happy Hogan too. Cause you know, poor Happy got some bad runtime here.
Yeah. I will say they did in the finale, Thanos got snapped by Killmonger.
That's right.
I like that. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And what, just anyone can wear the Infinity Gauntlet now, you know,
apparently. And then they pull like an Indiana Jones on him. He's like Killmonger took out Thanos. All right. We weren't going to beat him. And then we just take Killmonger out of that suit and we're fine. Mm-hmm, so, but yeah, he definitely took you can't get Manelli. He took out Thanos. So I don't know. Anyways, it's Happy for me.
Okay. All right here. So who won the movie, Nick? Series?
It's for me, it's far and away Hela. Because not only does she get her own episode where she kicks ass too, but then she has her moment in the finale as well. And I feel like then she was in 1602, but she got roasted real quick. But for me, I like Hela. Obviously, she's in the best Thor movie of them all, but she's a real fucking badass. But to me, like, you just showed that we have this character who was pretty one dimensional in Thor Ragnarok and was great, and then you go and try and expand on her a little bit and build that relationship
for
with her father. And they did a really good job with that. And if it's not her, then it's probably Corey and whoever came up with that idea, because that was a surprising success because it came out of left field. Mm-hmm.
I won't argue that too, because and those are like two of the stronger through points, right, of the storyline there. If I were to pick again, just one episode, I thought Nebula did a great job in that first one. That really won me over. But yeah, it's hard to deny Kahori or why am I blanking on Hela there?
But hey, wait a minute, I just thought of a better way to put the Hela headline. So again, I get you're trying to tie in the Ten Rings, but what if Hela was given a chance at redemption? It's simple.
That's why you're paid the big bucks, my man.
And again, that's probably not the final product, but I just feel like that paints a better picture. And then it doesn't matter that she lands with the Ten Rings. Like, you get it. Well, people are going to figure that out from there. But anyways, that's my biggest gripe for that episode. I'm doing fine.
Okay. All right there. So that just about does it, though. But with an 87 and an 82... it's a CMM aggregate score of, let me see, quick math, 84 and a half.
Bingo.
Look at that.
Mental math. Wow.
84 and a half. I'm getting there. So that gives it a tie for 27th in our CMMCU rankings with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So, and then also just behind Shang-Chi and just in front of Ms. Marvel, Iron Man 3, and Moon Knight at 83 and a half there. So, decent company. Definitely an improvement. Marvel's What If Season 1 was 37th with an aggregate score of 78 and a half. So they definitely moved up, bumped up the quality there and bumped up our rankings as well.
Yeah. And you could argue like when we did our retcon, we didn't have as much wiggle room to like move stuff up and down, mm-hmm. but looking back on it now, again, like after seeing this, that you could argue that should be a little farther down. Maybe at least on my half.
Yeah. Well, there's always we can always do a retcon for MCU scores 2024.
Yeah, and we can, and maybe we'll reach out a little bit farther this time around. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Well, we need content here, so we can stretch this out any way we see fit there. That's true. Time to get the tickets because the train is leaving the station, ladies and gentlemen.
Choo choo, bitches!
All right, Discharge Depot, Nick. What'd you do this weekend?
So I've been binging the current, I guess, kind of recently completed Moon Knight run because now we're getting into the vengeance of Moon Knight after his passing. So there's a whole lot mm-hmm. going on there, which is a bit of a spoiler for me. But at the same time, like that's on me. That's my own fault. But I have said before, like that it was I stopped after like 10 issues. And again, there was a few different influences there. And I really regret not staying on top of it because after rereading it, I've really enjoyed it and it's been really well done. And I think that like now with all this street level stuff, that's going to be coming along. And also, with Daredevil, we're hearing them mention Devil's Reign, which mm-hmm. is a recent comic book event, like recent, we're talking, I think it was early 2023. I think it was early 2023 and it was awesome. Like I very much enjoyed it. Chip Zdarsky wrote that. This Moon Knight stuff that Jed McKay has written could fit in very well in all of this stuff. So I really hope that we get to see Moon Knight revisited and this would fit in perfectly with this street level initiative. So I'm going to finish it off soon because I'm absolutely crushing it right now. But definitely something worth checking out, the Jed McKay run of Moon Knight. But what have you been up to since we last convened?
Well, last night I watched 3/4 of Saltburn, which is a movie with Jacob Elordi and Barry Keoghan and a couple other people as well. But I walked in, my wife was watching it, and I don't even know if it's an Amazon Prime or if you have to like rent it or what the deal is right now. But it's getting a lot of buzz on the internet because Barry Keoghan goes full dong.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it there, he's showing hanging dong then there, but it's a really interesting movie. Again, I caught like 2/3, three quarters of it, but it really like sucked me in. It's about these, British Oxford students, going to this Saltburn mansion, these like old estates of old British royalty. And they have all these like crazy coming of age type story. But then there's like this whole thing that happens. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but it's really, really well acted. It really sucks you in. The story doesn't tell you all that much. You don't really get a whole lot out of it, but it's a good watch. I recommend it, but Barry Keoghan's crazy. There's this other scene where he literally fucks dirt at the grave of someone's burial, like right after, like the fresh dirt that they were buried on. And it came out after the fact that was an improvised scene. It's pouring rain. He strips down naked. And he's crying and moaning and humping the dirt.
Oh wow! This is the first.
And he just improvised that. He's like, you know what this scene is missing? Me dry humping some dirt right now. It wasn't even a dry hump; it was a wet hump.
This is I didn't know about that scene. I have not watched it. I don't intend to watch it. The missus watched it.
I think your wife and you would like that movie though. It's not bad.
Well, she watched it and gave me a lot of the details of it, and it sounds like a fascinating premise. But there was just like some stuff with that Lordy was talking about in leading up to it, and I was just like, okay, like
What was he saying?
The tub scene where Kyogen's like licking up his stuff. I'm like, when I heard that, I'm like,
oh, okay. See, I must have missed that. There are some very sexually charged moments that aren't exactly sexual. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. It's like a lot of like implied stuff, like very close talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very, yeah, you know, I can see it's kind of like unsettling. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It sounds like it's quite the experience and quite the story. I just think this is one that I'm not going to go and necessarily give a look.
Okay. All right there. But the other thing, and if you haven't watched this yet, I also think you and your wife would like this, but You Are What You Eat documentary on Netflix. It was like top trending this past week, and it's where they do a study on twins and they give one a healthy omnivore diet over an 8-week period, and then the other one a vegan diet to compare a whole bunch of stuff like body mass, muscle mass, weight loss, and then like mental memory, like sexual arousal, like to see if there's like any difference between going, you know, being a healthy omnivore, being a healthy vegan, using twins as like having almost identical biomarkers.
That's, I saw like a brief mention of this on Twitter or something, but I didn't know it was out already. I'm definitely going to check this out. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I won't get into like the results of, you know, who does better and everything, but I feel like it forces, you know, it definitely has a message between all of that. They talk about factory farming and just how bad meats are for the body and everything. A lot of misinformation that goes on. And I don't necessarily buy, I don't think meat's bad for it. A lot of it feels like, maybe you can tell me this after the fact, but they confuse processed meats and then with meat overall. So they'll have like an expert on there saying like processed meats, like deli meats, sausages, bacon, things like that, are inherently bad for you. And they're like mm-hmm. carcinogenic and they can kill you. But sometimes it would be like an overshot of like a grilled steak. Do you know what I mean? Or like, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I feel like you're sending the wrong like mixed messaging there. And they would kind of use meat or processed meat kind of interchangeably. And I felt like that kind of sends the wrong message there. But I had a lot of my thoughts about veganism confirmed through this. I don't think it actually promotes what they're hoping it promotes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I definitely want to check this out because you cut out on me there.
I won't spoil it for you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm very interested in checking this out just because I feel like I've been trying to make adjustments recently in a few different ways. So that will be that'll be good to get that bit of insight because it sounds like whoever thought of this, that is a brilliant idea.
It's really interesting. I think, you know, my biggest takeaway is just how bad factory farming is. Like they show some of this stuff and like crazy. There's like these pig farms in North Carolina that they have, you know, again, they'll do like drone footage flyovers of these like pig farms. Where they have these lagoons that are just sewage of all of their pig shit. So there's thousands of pigs on this pig farm and they have like 10,000 gallon lagoons. That's just all this shit sitting there. It's like, just sitting there pretty much mixed with water. And again, all of their, like their feces. But what they do to get rid of that is they spray it over crops. 'Cause there is like a fertilizer, you know, benefit to that. But what they do is they spray it so far out and it would get into like neighboring people's yards. So like all of their houses, like people's clothes, children's toys would have pig fecal matter like all over them. And there's a huge lawsuit that came out from it. You know, they won like millions of dollars because of it. But like the things that you're just not as aware of your food chain as you think you are. You know what I mean?
That I have learned. That is, there's no question about that. But
so I've been looking into like local, you know, meat farms to get meat from now. It's like that's like the big change that I think that brought on me. There's one in Dartmouth, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
I wasn't either. I figured Westport would have one.
Probably. How's the pricing comparatively? Like, do you know that yet?
Well, yeah. So I was looking at that one. It's like, you know, it's more expensive. It's definitely more expensive. Some of the stuff you could order like individually. I think the highest cut of steak that I saw was like $37, $34 a pound. I think that was the beef tenderloin. Mm. But most of it's like low 20s or high teens or something per pound, which I don't think is crazy. Mm. You can get subscription services. They do like eggs, chicken, lamb, pork, and you can kind of like mix and match what you get and get it delivered like I think once a month or every week.
I'll have to look into that.
There's definitely some up by you too, I'm sure.
It's got to be. Yeah. Farmer talk.
No, but I'm telling you, you watch that documentary and you're suddenly like, you're just grossed out by it because you don't think about it. Even like the grass fed stuff, you know, even the stuff that's labeled, is like workarounds, you know, it's like stretching of the legal speech.
Interesting. Yeah. I need to watch this. I need to make sure I watch it tonight, honestly.
Yeah. It's a 4-part series. So it's like most Netflix documentaries, like, they stretch it out a little longer than it has to be, you know.
Because there's one too that's on what do they call it? It's on. Lauren watched it, and I caught glimpses of it. It's a documentary series again on areas around the world that like are known for having like people who live substantially longer lives. Oh
yeah, I think Jules and I watched that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like so that was another one, like, and I remember we saw like at least one Greek island or area of mainland Greek, and like. Yep. Some of their like wine is part of their stuff, and it's an important part of what their culture and everything. And they have a lot of people that live to a long, like fairly healthy life. So it's just like watch. So when I saw that, it was kind of eye opening for me. So seeing this too will be an interesting experience.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure you can attest to this when you were over there too. But the you know, aside from all the bread and everything that's different between America and the rest of the world or European countries, the wine is completely different too. The sulfates there, you don't get drunk or you don't get hung over as much. Like it's like a healthier wine.
Yes. I mean, obviously I was on my honeymoon, so obviously we're going all out and I think
you can go the extra mile and then not feel as bad as you would like a night out in America or whatever. So
I did not ever feel hungover ever. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Wes, I'm lactose intolerant, and I over there didn't hold back, and I brought a bunch of like lactate pills to help me out because obviously that works wonders. I didn't even take them once.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's good.
And I gained 3 pounds while I was there for 2 weeks, and I didn't hold back in anything. And I only gained 3 pounds.
Not too shabby, I know, right? So that's definitely crazy. Tells you. And usually, you hear about people losing weight too. I'm sure you're on more of a relaxing, honeymoon vacation. But yes. People go to Europe, walk everywhere, and everything. So 100%. With that on top of it too, for sure. There.
Yeah.
Side note though, lactate pills. They need to come up with a better name for that because now I'm in like. Parent mode and I just think of lactating boobs and it's like I gotta take the lactate pills because my nipples are milking.
I see how that could be a little confusing there.
They need to come up with a better name than that.
You think that's not on purpose?
Maybe they just want boobs on the mind.
I think that's what it is.
That's good. Yeah, well, they're doing their job. You're right Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a good place to end it there, huh? Boobs on the mind.
I think so too.
Next week, what are we doing? We're doing Rebel Moon next week.
Oh God, is that what we're doing? Yep. All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
Yeah, Rebel Moon, and of course Echo comes out this week as well. So we'll give that a week to marinate.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
I thought that's what we were doing. No. We talked about this. I think I confused myself. We'll do Echo next week. We'll give Rebel Moon one extra week in case of the Snyder R-rated cut comes out.
Yeah. We'll see.
Maybe not. Maybe we're still going to be waiting for that.
That's fine. But I am excited to watch Echo because they've really turned. I feel like they've really taken a turn in the marketing. Like it's been consistent, but I just think that they've somewhere along the way they've twisted things around to really. I feel like the public opinion set expectations pretty high, and I think Vincent D'Onofrio has really been an important part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw some YouTube video that was saying that that Kingpin is gonna be set up to be the Thanos of the street level Marvel stuff, which is Again, maybe that's just, you know, savvy talk for promotion and to get everyone excited. Like, how dare they invoke Thanos' name, you know? But I think Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin could be, yeah, has that potential.
Agreed. Yeah, I think Kingpin in general deserves that kind of respect. 100%. He's always been a great character.
So Echo next week. We'll have that 5 episodes, so that'll be fun stuff, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So
till then, same bat time, same bat place.